Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're going to the book of 1 John, a little short letter, five chapters long, that is just loaded with information, instructions, commandments, insight for who we are in the Lord and how we are to live day in and day out. And we're right at the end of the first chapter. As a matter of fact, we got a couple more verses. So, and it's a short chapter. I think it's just 10 verses long. So let me back up and read from the beginning to where we can reset the context, where we can be reminded of what John was writing. He says this in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 John. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's the first three verses. So he's saying, we have spoken to you, we have proclaimed to you what we have seen, what we have experienced, what I have literally touched. And he's speaking of the word of life. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is the one in whom we have fellowship. That's the reason I'm proclaiming this to you. Because if you truly believe, indeed, we have fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Now, verse 4. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So again, we spoke about this in the last episode, that John is the one who expresses in sort of ethereal type ways the things of God, that God is light. The bottom line is this: if there's any darkness in your life, then it's not of God. Of course, people start asking, well, what is darkness and what is light? Well, what is truth and what is a lie? That's what he's setting up right here. Listen to what happens in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So the idea is this, that if you are lying, if you're walking in darkness, if you're not practicing the truth, if you're not doing the things that the Lord reveals to be truth, then you're in darkness. You're lying and you're not practicing what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 7 continues, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So he's letting them know that this is what a true believer looks like. A true believer is one who walks in the light, has fellowship with one another, other fellow people who are walking in the light. They're not lying. They're not living in deceit. They're living in the truth. And then he tells the reason that they're able to do that is because they're in fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed all of them of their sins, of all their sins. That is what cleanses us, not our works, our deeds, the things that we do to cleanse ourselves. You know, a lot of times you'll hear phrases, which are okay phrases and they're fine phrases, but I think they communicate things that are not biblical and incorrect, and people latch onto them. One is spiritual disciplines, okay? You'll hear people say, well, you know, I observe the spiritual disciplines. And by that, they mean a litany of things, you know, of Bible reading, of meditation, of prayer, of worshiping together, just various things. Well, that's fine, and we are to do all these things. But quite often, the attitude is, if you will do these things, if you will discipline yourself spiritually in this way, then the truth will be in you, and you will no longer sin. And that's not at all what the deal is, okay? It is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You actually see this in Hebrews. We're studying Hebrews locally. And that's a major portion of the middle part of that letter, excuse me, where the writer is saying, hey, you know, the law wasn't good enough. The law just atoned for your sin, but it did not give you a clean conscience. It didn't cleanse you of your sin. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse us from our sin. And so that sort of begs the question, you know, if somebody's in a situation, you find yourself in a situation or whatever, where they feel like they're never really cleansed of their sin, where they feel like that they have never been set free, well, maybe they need to examine some stuff. Maybe it's the fact that they're very religious, okay? They may be good people. They may be going about religious activity and everything, but they have never been cleansed by the blood, which means they've never really truly been saved. So verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So again, we talked about that previously, how a lot of times people will say, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they're actually saved, but they describe themselves that way, always pointing. No, that's not right. We are saints who used to sin, okay? We are saints who can choose. And saints means holy ones. We are saints who can choose to sin. We can choose to. It's not eradicated in our life. We can choose to do it. So if we sit there and say, well, no, I'm saved now. I'm sanctified. As a matter of fact, you'll hear this in certain streams of the River of God. People will come up and say, well, I attained sanctification this week. I attained that, and so I did not sin this week, and I'm not going to sin from now on because I am sanctified. Well, the thing is, we are sanctified, holy, growing in holiness and in righteousness, but that's a misinterpretation, a misteaching, a misapplication, et cetera, of what it truly means to be holy. We can still choose to walk in sin. So we need to be careful of that. That's what he's saying right here. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us, because we know that we can sin, but we choose not to by the power of the Most High God. We're not going to do it. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we do sin as believers, we confess that sin to the Lord. He is faithful. He's righteous to forgive us. He'll forgive us of those sins. He'll cleanse us. Now, folks, we don't need to presume upon that. You don't need to assume upon it. Too often people have the idea, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it because I know that God will forgive me. Woo! Need to be careful with that kind of thing, because that reveals something about the intent of the heart and perhaps even the true nature of the heart. Now, let's look at the last verse. We'll look at verse 10, the last verse of chapter 1. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. John is addressing some things within what became known as Gnosticism. There were all sorts of false teachings that were arising, and people were saying, okay, I'm saved now, so I will never sin anymore. Well, that's a false teaching, because you can't choose to sin. Other people were saying, well, I really don't need to be saved because I've kept the law. I've done all this from the time that I was of age, and I had never sinned before. And he says, if you say that, then you make him, and that him is a capital H, you're making God out to be a liar. Because what does God say? He says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul writes that somewhere else, right? Everybody has. And so you can't sit there and say, okay, yeah, I've never sinned before, so I don't need this. No, you do. You can't sit there and say, okay, I'm justified, I'm sanctified. Because of that, it's impossible for me to sin. Well, that declaration, that arrogance right there just proved you to be wrong, right? Proved you to be wrong. And you're saying, well, where's all this going? Well, it's all going, which we'll see in the next chapter, and I think the next episode or two, to what we saw in the ninth verse here, that when we do sin, if we'll confess, he's faithful and he's righteous, and he'll forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He will give us that place to begin again. Isn't that good to know? Well, my time's up again. I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode.